The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, simply marvelous Monday as we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to bless one another, strengthen one another, and encourage one another. First up, we come to the garden. But why do we go to the garden? It's not the garden, but the one who's in the garden. Aha! Next, we review the three reasons of which one or all three could be the reasons why God said nope to Cain and to his offering. And finally, we get into bibliology. That's the theology of the Bible as we examine the power and the purpose of the good book.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can give us a call, 972-445-0770. Terrific T will answer the phone. She'll be really nice to you. She might even give you, a coupon for a pizza. I wouldn't think that would happen, but it could. I don't know. She might have found one online. Who knows? Here's the other thing. You can text in 214-210-8483. So what are those things for? What are those numbers for? For prayer requests, for praise reports. Eric wrote a wonderful praise report that we're going to share. I just haven't figured out in the Lord yet whether it's today or tomorrow, but it's soon. Additionally, you might have pop questions, things that you're wondering about, things you're curious about, and then also trivia because we want to keep our brains going actively in the Word of God. Speaking of trivia, let's start off with our very first trivia question. In what book of the Bible do you find the words, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly"? Where do you find that? Oh, my. Hey, keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why is that? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. Sometimes I even wonder about that. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, we're starting off, besides our trivia, of making sure that everybody understands what our DNA is. This has been a tandem of late. We'll keep it going that way. DNA is what a Christian is made of. It's what we're built of. It's our building blocks from within. Here we go. Christian DNA. Draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Excellent. Never be ashamed. And then always be ready to...
Serve.
There you go. Excellent job. Very, very good to start off the show with. All right. So before we get into the teaching, again, the portion that I read to you, I will tell you this. It says this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Ooh, that's a good one. Got answers already coming in. Way to go, people. Way to go. I'm going to give you a brief update. I'm going to do it brief, because I don't have all the answers. But as you know, I've been asking everybody to pray about the PhD program and some of the shifts that are going on for me in that. It may be, and I will get this more solidified in the next couple of days, it may be that the PhD in biblical exposition is going to shift to a doctor of ministry in apologetics. Apologetics is defending the faith. And so I have a lot of history and a lot of biblical classes and things of that nature for Bible exposition. So there might be a move in that direction. If we go that direction, it's already been approved by the dean of the college. They would actually be allowing me to forego a lot of classes, and it would help me go through the process a year and a half earlier, a year and a half less than my time. You bet I'm praying about it. You betcha. Plus, you want to hear the funniest thing? I'll just tell you this. So I've really been going through this for about 5 weeks. You know, Lord, you know, I love this part of it, but I don't love this. I like this. I don't like this. But I want to do this because I know I'm supposed to do this, but I'm not sure about this, and I can't figure it out. So I ended up on Friday talking to the professor of this particular program. And wouldn't you know, my thing with the Lord was about 5 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago, he was running on the treadmill, and the Lord gave him this whole program while he was running on the treadmill. He wrote it down. He presented it shortly thereafter, and everybody approved it and thought it was the greatest thing. So somewhere between my 5.5 weeks and his 4 weeks is this new program, and I'm like, I love this, so we'll just see what happens. That's what I'm giving you. Keep praying for me that I would have wisdom because I need it. I'm not, you know, there's a couple things I really understand, but they're extremely limited. To like how fast I can eat a Snickers bar. I get that. I'm really good at that. One bite. Anyway, that's besides the point. Okay. All right, let's get into, what are we covering? Did I miss anything? I don't think I missed anything. Here we go. Let's get into our first thing that I want to discuss, and that's a garden. Do you garden by any chance, T? Do you ever do in a garden?
Actually, I have not.
Okay, I don't garden either, so I'm with you. Okay, so we're the same. Okay,
like, see, we are.
Yeah. So here's how it goes. In the scripture, as you guys know, in the very beginning, in Genesis, you get Genesis, especially Genesis chapter 2, you get this super-duper cool understanding that there's a garden, right? There's a garden, and it's a cool garden. Genesis 2, 7 through 10, there's a garden. And then we're going to talk, because somebody's calling in on the trivia question, we're going to give them a chance to answer, but then we're going to talk about the other garden, and then we're going to talk about what is the garden. That's the big key to everything. Okay, here we go. Hang on. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Yeah, David, this is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace, how are you?
Brother Ace, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm blessed. Thank you again.
Okay, so you got to turn your radio down just a little. It's got a little echo.
Yeah, I don't have have it on. So I'm driving, so that might be the reason.
Yeah, that's it, probably too. All right, my good friend, so there's a very particular passage that talks about people who are blessed who do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you remember where that is at?
Well, my memory serves me right. It's Psalms 1, wasn't it?
That is correct. You are right. Your memory serves you correctly, sir.
Thank you. We say the Lord and the Holy Spirit recall.
There you go. But believe me, I rely on that more than you could possibly know.
I do too, buddy.
Excellent job, my brother. Excellent way to start the show.
Okay, we appreciate your love, man. Thank you for your ministry and those little things just make people happy, and so it's good. Thank you.
God bless, bro. All right, excellent. In fact, I just did, just for those that are wondering, in our one of my PhD classes, we just did a whole word thing on the word blessed, because it's blessed is the, and he said, yeah, it's got to be X amount of pages. Mine was 10 pages with 15 citations. You can get that much on one word.
It's a little lengthy.
I wrote in there.
A little.
Yeah, I wrote in there, sorry. Poor guy's got to read the whole thing. Anyway, we'll get back to that. So I want to talk to you about this garden process because, you know, there's a great classic song. I come to the garden alone. All right, so it's a great song. There is the garden in the Garden of Eden. And what was happening in the Garden of Eden before things went gnarly is God would meet with Adam and Eve in the garden. Okay, so garden, what we get from Scripture is this place that you meet with God, all right? Now watch this. In Revelation chapter 22, so we're just talking about Genesis 2, in Revelation chapter 22, okay, there is a river with trees along the side, and many people see this as the garden of eternity and understanding. He showed me a river clear as crystal. Its water was the water of life. The river came out from the throne of God and from the Lamb. It flowed down to the middle of a wide avenue along the river banks. On either side grew the tree of life, and the tree bore 12 kinds of fruit. Each month it bore fruit. The leaves of the tree healed the people of every nation. The whole premise there is that this is a magnified garden that is in Revelation. So now watch this. Just watch. So, and I've told you this before, but there's a reason I'm telling you. So in Genesis 2, there's a garden. And the garden is the place where Adam and Eve were meeting with God. It's also the place where it all got lost. In Revelation 22, there's a garden. And that's the one for eternity. That's the magnified garden that we're going to. Right? Right? John chapter 19, verse 41. There was a garden in the place where he was crucified. Right in between the heavenly garden and the very first garden is John 19, 41, where there's another garden. This is where Jesus prayed, knowing he was about to sacrifice his life. He met in the garden because why? Because the Father was there and they spent time together, and that's how he got strengthened for his task. And so my premise, my point is that before you get too spiritual, before you get too theological, before you're able to quote the 10 basic Bible doctrines and all of their special little words, you have to remember that it starts, it ends, and it is sustained by the garden. And the garden is the place that you go to meet with the Lord. Now, it's not a coincidence that the Bible starts with, has in the middle of, and closes with a garden. And it shouldn't be a coincidence for us who need to spend time with the Lord. And you might be thinking, well, Dave, I don't actually have a physical garden. Think you're missing this by a country mile. Let's bring it back. That place that you go away to be with the Lord, that's your garden. There it is. I don't care. Now, you're going to... People are going to get mad. I don't care if it's in the bathroom when you're taking a bath. I don't. Who cares? It's you and God alone from distractions aplenty, where you are quiet and listening and sharing with the Lord. Hey, you know what sustained Jesus to go through the cross, to see that vision of what was coming? Spending time with the Father. We come to the garden because of who is in the garden. And it's not a coincidence that the Bible starts, ends, and is sustained by a garden. So all I'm going to say to you is this week, spend a little more time in the garden with God. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. Keep it as simple as I can do it. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressmen's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay, and the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions, will not change them. Father won't change him. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
What is the David Spoon experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're already rock and rolling. It's Monday. Monday, we don't deal with Monday blues. We push right past that. Don't you be blue. Every day ends with a Y.
You can't, just can't stop. First of all, every ends with a Y, and then day.
You're killing me, Small.
I know. I'm doing my best. Don't forget, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That would be the phone to call in on, to text 214-210-8483. Get ready for our next trivia question. It's a good one, I think. Paul told Timothy to take something for his stomach's sake. What was it? And before you write Pepto... Probably not Pepto. Let's not forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. By the way, there is new stuff on the website again. In fact, on the website, I have a little saying that I used to live by. I'm not going to tell you what that saying is. But then if you click on it, it will take you to one of my PhD posts. Gives you a kind of a flavor. You might kind of, hey, I like that stuff. I want to get further into it. So you're welcome to check that out. Oh, phone's ringing. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, it's Deborah. How are you today?
Hi, Deborah. How are things going?
Doing great, thanks.
All right, so I don't think this is a hard one. I think Christians struggle because I think they wish it had a few different letters in it. But basically, here's the question. What was it that Paul told Timothy to take for his stomach's sake?
Oh, I hope I'm not wrong. Is it wine?
That is correct. You are right.
Oh, is it? All right.
Now it does say in the Greek, okay, let me just say this is really funny. It does say a little wine, which is substantially different than certain Christians going, hey, it's football season. Let's have a little wine like Timothy. And then they have like a gallon and a half. It's like, that's a little different than I think he was going for. And then wine back then was much more medicinal than it is now, where now it's much more recreational. But excellent job. Great memory.
All right.
Great recall. Excellent work.
Have a good day. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Use a little wine for thine often infirmities. It has been thought, by the way, that Timothy, now there's no way to prove, and this is why I want to get into this, because we're going to get into this text, and I'm going to show you a couple of different things. But it was thought that Timothy, because he had some timidity, okay, so he had a little bit of reserved, that maybe he was a little more anxious than was necessary, and then it's also wine had much more medicinal, and I know there's some people that are like, oh, that was grape juice. Like, no, it wasn't.
Just telling you, there's not a Jewish historian in the entire universe that was, it was grape juice. I mean, it's just, but our country, we do a lot of abusing, and that's, you know, that's, so you got to protect, and that's kind of the idea there. But it is possible that he had a lot of ups and downs. He was a young man in a very intense community with a lot of challenges. You know, unlike all of us. Okay. All right. I want to get into this from a theologian point of view. So you've already heard me say I'm looking at this PhD and maybe moving into a doctor of ministry, and you're thinking, well, why? What's the difference? And it's a very good question. And thank you for asking. So a PhD is much more oriented towards the studious part of academics, where you contribute to a body of work, you know, a kind of a part of thought. You don't want to say it's in the, it's in the theory kind of realm, but it's much more academic and it's much more thought oriented. And a doctor of ministry is much more practical oriented. How does it apply? How can I use it? What can I use with it? And how can this help the body that I'm serving or the people that I'm with? And how does it fit into that realm? And, you know, I've done a lot of praying about this. It's not a new principle, but I want to make sure that people understand what we do is we try to encourage, we try to educate, we try to entertain, but to get people to get engaged with God. So we're not really adding new thought in that sense. We're really trying to create more of a practical tools that people can really apply. And even when we do our expository, it's exactly that way. It's trying to be very practical. So to me, it just seems to line up better. And then I'll tell you the miraculous stuff that happened with it later, because I'm just waiting to get it all confirmed. But it looks pretty good. But here's a perfect example of scripture that this would be in play at, okay? And let me just read it to you, and then I'll go through it. And there's going to be some people that are going to want to call in and freak out. I'm going to ask you to restrain from freaking out and just listen to the different principles, okay? Yeah, this is in Genesis. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. I'm going to skip ahead. But Cain and his offering, God had no regard. And so Cain was very angry, and his face fell. Here's what we know for sure about Cain and the offering. There's some people that think, well, God didn't accept his offering because Cain was a guy that was a tiller of the ground. He wasn't somebody who took care of the flocks, and he should have brought more of a blood offering. And there's a great line of theological thought that says that offering should have contained blood, because written on the hearts of men, even before the law was established, is the understanding that it was going to take blood as a sacrifice to make things right with God. And Adam and Eve certainly were teaching Cain and Abel, and they certainly knew that sin was a disaster, and it, you know, had to be accounted for and responded to. So blood is one of the first lines that people will talk about, and theologically, people will commit to that and be very strong about that and say it's the blood, and that's why God rejected it. And I don't disagree with that, but I don't only agree with that. And this is where the doctor of ministry comes into play. It's not just picking a side, but it's embracing all of the practicalities of all sides. It takes the blood sacrifice for your sins to be forgiven, which is a foreshadow of the blood that Jesus was going to sacrifice. Keep in mind, the gospel as a lawsuit is easily understood. Man sins, he's going to have to pay the penalty. Jesus didn't sin, but ended up still paying the penalty. He was wronged, therefore he sued. And said, I was supposed to die. And so the lawsuit was, anybody who believes in me, they get my right life. And therefore they're seen differently. That's the first part. The second part is when you get into Hebrews 11:4, where it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts. And through faith, when he died, he still speaks. The idea, the next part of this element that people really focus in on, and this one probably more than any other, is that the reason that Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's wasn't was because Abel's offering was offered by faith, and nothing that you do in the kingdom of God can be void of faith. In fact, this, you get into Hebrews 11, it is, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when you're giving an offering, there has to be a connection of faith. It's not out of obligation. It's out of a duty or a sense of trust and confidence in the goodness and faithfulness of God and your acknowledgement of that. So it's not performance as much as it is recognition. And when you're giving an offering, you're recognizing who all things come from and where they flow from. And there's a very strong, probably even stronger than the blood argument, that because Abel offered with faith and Cain did not, that God rejected Cain's offering, blood or not. So there's two schools of thought. Now you're thinking, well, how was this guy doing anything? Just relax. The third school of thought is that Abel gave from the, very specific in the scripture, from the firstlings or the best of his flock, whereas Cain just gave. And that's the third one, and this one also, all three have great theological foundations, that Cain's offering was him just giving to God, no special portion of it, whereas Abel's offering was the best that Abel was able to give out of what he had, the first fruits, the best thereof. And so the idea is that because it wasn't the best when Cain gave his offering, God said no. When Abel gave his best, God said yes. Okay, all three of those apply to you. You can't do the offering without the blood of Jesus Christ because you ain't good enough. You can't do an offering to God without faith because God does not has not chosen any other vehicle but faith by which to please him. And you, if you're just doing it because you're trying to obey a law versus by engaging in faith, you're missing it altogether. And if you give to God on the basis of him just getting your leftovers, you're insulting God, and you should really read Malachi, where God gets really mad about the offerings they give because they're the wounded animals, the blind animals. And God goes, you wouldn't even give this to your governor. How could you give this to me? And I'm God. And so there's a very strong element there. So the practicality is when you and I are giving, when we're in this process of offering, when we're in this process of sacrifice, whether it's time, whether it's talent, whether it's treasure, I don't matter. I don't care if it's your time. I don't care if it's your talent. I don't care if it's your treasure. Whatever it is, there's got to be an understanding that it's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. It has to be offered by faith, and it better be your best because God doesn't give you anything less. That's the practical application of taking each one of those theological paths and going down them. Yeah, but they all work. I mean, you can't give God less than and go, there you go. I had this left over. Hey, I found this gum. It's only partially chewed. Here you go, God. It's like that. That does not work. And you can't offer it by anything but by faith. You're giving. And I know that sometimes you give and you're like, boy, I hope they use this money wisely. No kidding. Ever heard of the government? Hope they use it wisely? No kidding. $326 for a toilet seat? Not so wise, right? But you give it unto the Lord first. And then it has to, everything's got to be covered by the blood because you don't have a relationship with God apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. That has to be rectified because you know what? You have sin. And only through the righteous life of Jesus can you get completely free of that record and function-wise. Okay? There's the practical of all of that. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment.
because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table. And somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Everybody's doing a great job. Great on the texts. Great on the phone calls. We greatly appreciate it. Great, 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 great.
At least I can say the word great. I got that. I know. Also, I could say grating cheese, but that's not the same kind of great. Just pointing that out.
All right, what was the name of the man who gave each man in his army of 300 a trumpet and an empty pitcher? Like, you know, something that holds stuff. A pitcher, like, you know, not a baseball pitcher.
Thank you for helping. Thank you for helping people catch that.
300 army, he gave them the trumpet and an empty pitcher to hold stuff. Wow. One would think people would have wanted to get like an Uzi. But I'm just saying, that's what he gave his army. Don't forget, you can go to the website, and we need you to because we're low. How low are we?
Low.
Low. Okay, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Excellent. Please keep us in prayer. If you've already given to your home church or the ministries you primarily support and you have any left over, don't forget us. We are a little bit behind, but we will prevail because the Lord is always able to supply, takes care of us so, so kindly. I mean, we get a lot of graciousness from the Lord. We love it. God is really good to us, and we appreciate it. Okay, again, I mentioned that Eric had sent an email. I'm probably not going to share that today. I'm probably going to share it tomorrow. It's just a kind of like a praise report. And if you guys ever want to share praise reports via email, you can go to HeMustIncrease.org and just fill out the form. Nobody gets the information. Nobody sees it. Nothing weird happens. And we don't take any praise reports without getting permission to share it. That's all. We just want to be careful. It's time for history.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, today, for those that do not know, it is International Crab Fest Day. Do you like crabs? I like crabs. Do you like those?
I love crabs.
Oh, there you go. Now, do you like fresh or do you like the fried? Do you ever have like fried
I've
stuff?
I've had them both.
Both.
It doesn't even matter. Crab is crab.
All right. There you go. That's a good answer. Today is also Eat a Hoagie Day. I mean, that's, I just, you know, I mean, see, back in the day, they had grinders and hoagies that were just, now it's just like all like, they just call them subs.
Yeah, I was just about to say the hoagie, like the sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking of like.
Or Hoagie Carmichael, but that's really going back. So let's just, it's also National Cream Filled Donut Day. Nothing on my mind. It's three foods in a row. And the National Coloring Book Day for your coloring book. Which,
love those.
Love those, right? Did you stay inside the lines?
Never.
Okay.
Let's say at the ones that erase, like the color pencils.
Oh, yeah, those are good. I thought the lines were there. Well, I don't know why the lines were there. I never used them. It doesn't matter. Okay. In 1814 on this day, the Star-Spangled Banner by Francis Scott Key was written. I wrote the poem, became the national anthem. When seeing the American flag flying following the British bombardment at Fort McHenry during the War of 1812. I do think the melody there could have done a little. It's not like we would say
a bit better.
Yeah, it's not what we would say. Wow, that's just every part of that's fantastic. It's not like Amazing Grace. Okay, it's just the nicest way to say it, you know. But it, you know, hey, do what you can. Here's something I guarantee you've never heard of before. In 1901, on this day, so 99 years ago, first professional bodybuilding contest was organized and held in London. Where else? The winner was William L. Murray of England. Now, if anybody needs that information, you are not doing enough things in life. That's all I can say to you. And then for those that remember this, 1981, the People's Court with Judge Joseph Wapner was presiding. That was the original court show on television before all the – remember so long ago. Oh, my goodness. Remember that, Judge Wapner? He was a classic. All right. So the question, trivia question that we're getting to our next teaching, you have to love me no matter what. What was the name of the man who gave each man in his army of 300 people a trumpet and an empty pitcher? That's the question that's being asked. Let's get into our next teaching. Some will appreciate this, some not as much. John chapter 12, verse 4 through 8. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this fragrant oil sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Verse 6, he didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was put in it. Jesus answered, "Leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial, for you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me with you." All right. In this text, the indictment goes down on the fake religious people, the fake politicians, the fake media, the fake everything. Everything that's fake, this is it right here. Judas, every one of them is like Judas Iscariot. So this woman had 300 denarii, a perfume costing 300 denarii. To give you an idea how expensive this was, I'm going to help you because a lot of people don't know. I'm not even giving you the dollar value. 200 denarii, okay? So two-thirds of that was able to feed 5,000 people. So 300 could, in fact, feed 7,500 people, and actually it's 7,500 families because it doesn't include women and children. So this perfume is really expensive. I don't know how to explain to you how expensive it is, but just think of what your bill would be if you took 7,500 people to McDonald's. Or think of it with the women and children, and you took maybe 15,000 people to McDonald's. How big would that bill be? Right?
Unless they all order from the dollar menu.
That's a good point. That's the best bet they could do, right? But still, you're looking at 15, 20, right? It's like unbelievable, right? So it was very expensive. And so you can understand why somebody might think that, but not why Judas said it, because Judas didn't care. He said it because he was a thief. So what you get from this, right, what you get is a false righteousness talking about the poor, but with a wrong spirit. Why? He didn't care.
You see, now, you can sit there and say to me, oh, that's how everybody is on this one side of the aisle. That's how everybody is on this other side of the aisle. That's how everybody is. Let's just say it. Goodness gracious. It's like, this is why you think, why are you top center? This right here. This right here. Why? Well, I understand left and right, but I understand. See, Scripture put this in there for a reason, so you and I can go, wait a second. That doesn't seem right. And it's not. So, you know, you just got to think of all the places. Where else do they collect money, claim to be caring for the less fortunate, but are actually stealing money for themselves? Where else is that place? I don't know. $326 for a toilet seat? I'll tell you where it is, right? Jesus says the poor you always have with you. Full eradication is not as viable as people try to make it. But Jesus said, my burial, that's more important. I'm with you right now. This is for my burial. I want you to catch what's really important. Now, I'm not just making a simple indictment on government functions, okay? These are just people that are just dishonest, and they're in every field of life. But they are not the priority. Jesus' stuff is. Okay, so let's take this call, and then I'll finish up. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello?
Can you hear me, David?
Yeah, I can now.
Okay. It's Gideon.
That is correct, my friend. It is Gideon. Yeah. Do you remember how God reduced his army, how it was much bigger, and God kept reducing it and reducing it?
Yeah, 300 was probably 0.5% of what the original army was.
Exactly. And you want to know why God did it? Do you remember what God said, why I'm reducing it?
Of course, so he could get the glory, and that Israel wouldn't think that it was them that did it.
Exactly right. So sometimes the Lord allows the situation to get so ridiculous that only a miracle could change it.
Amen.
Excellent job, brother. It's great to hear your voice.
Great to hear you, too.
All right, God bless you.
Hey, one question.
Yes.
You were talking about your position as a doctor or a PhD.
Yes.
You were talking about how it was a miracle that that PhD got
implemented. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me this. So if God just did miraculous for you to put that before you, wouldn't you think it was a miracle and that that's actually how you wanted to go?
Yes, but what I like to do before I make that proclamation, not to get it verified, but to make sure I haven't misinterpreted or misunderstood, which should come this week, I should get that verification, and then I'll be able to, it's kind of like, did you get a healing? Go to the high priest and have him verify it so that people can know. It's almost like that part of it. And so you just want to have that extra add-on, so when you make that proclamation, it stands firm forever.
Okay, it's kind of like the fleas with Gideon then.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Exactly. It's a little bit of weak faith, but it's still faith.
Well, okay. I'll go along with that.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. All right, God bless.
You're welcome. Bye.
Good job. This is a great job. All right. So the last thing I want to say about this, about the, you know, and because I only got like 10 seconds, I might go 5 seconds over, but that's it. Here's the bottom line. It's the most important thing is to honor Jesus with what you have and what you do. And to whatever you do, make it about seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness and not about filling your pockets with pennies. Okay. That's not the goal. Okay. It's to honor the Lord, not your pockets. Okay? Okay. I just wanted to get that in there. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back talking about bibliology. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Here's what it says. The sure way to avoid criticism. To avoid criticism, the article says, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. That was said by a successful and innovative coach of the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team. Now, that's not the only reason I'm reading the article, not because it's just a hockey team coach thing, but here's what it says. Number one, say nothing and become the unwitting victim of everybody else's opinion or point of view. Two, do nothing and just watch life from the sidelines. Three, when our voices remain silent and our actions still, we are nothing.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You know, this is the last segment already. I mean, how fast is that? That's pretty fast, isn't it? This show's
very fast.
It goes fast. I mean, it does go fast. Now, when we were doing 2 hours, it was you know, tougher from time to time. I did one show I did for 3 hours. That was tougher. but you got to keep in mind, I don't have, like, you know... people writing for me. Oh, let's write this up for them or do this research for them. It's like, it doesn't work that way. When you're in the, where you're in the normal world, you got to do it all your own. There's a lot to do.
Let's get into our last trivia question, which is part of my devotions today. That's why I picked it, so it's not that difficult. You can either call in or you can text in. For the texters, 214-210-8483. For the callers, 972-445-0770. Here it is. There was a song that was sung about Saul and David. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his... you got to fill in the blank. Got to fill in the blank. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his more than thousands. Nice way to put it. This is David.
Bonnie.
Hey, brother. I knew you were calling right back in. Ha!
Yeah, I'm not driving now. I'm waiting on my wife to get off from work.
All right. That's good. All right. So Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his?
10,000.
10,000. That's right. And right after that, Saul, instead of being happy for the kingdom, became jealous. And just because of that, because he couldn't be thankful for the kingdom of God and wanted to own it, then he lost his own mind in the process and was consumed with jealousy and rage.
And you know what's ironic about that? Is that the person that, you know, David was anointed after him. So after then, David was his enemy, but if David was his most faithful subject.
Yes, and that's it. Says it. Now look at what the position. I was just reading this today. The positional relational change because Saul didn't have it right before the Lord, where God gets the glory first and foremost. That creates, I'm telling you, creates more problems in the church than, we're going to talk about that on Thursday on the expository. That's what creates a lot of the divisions. And it's just like, that's so sad.
But what causes that problem, David, is that people want to get out of the glory and God is not going to let them have one inch.
That's right. That's right. There's only one superstar in heaven and we ain't it. All right, good job, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
God bless. All right. I love Ronnie calls. All right, here we go. So I'm going to talk to you about bibliology. Now, this sounds like a really big word. Ooh, bibliology. Okay, that's the study of the Bible. Anytime you hear an ology, no matter what they come up with all their big sentences, an ology is a study. It's the study. Theology, the study of God. Christology, the study of Christ. Not that hard.
What about mixology?
Mixology is studying mixing. Now, that could be mixing for fluids, or it could be mixing for sounds, right? I don't think it has to do a lot of chemical mixings that are actual chemicals. I think those are the chemists, but I don't know. Chemisology. I don't know. It's all about sisology stuff. So I just want you to not to lose your mind. So let's talk about understanding the purpose and the power and the purpose of the gospel. Okay. First of all, God is fair and just. And whatever the process is for those that never do hear the gospel, you and I count on the quality of God. So somebody will say, this just drives me nuts, but they go, what about the guy that's in the island that's 60 trillion miles away from everybody and he didn't hear the gospel? And you know what my first response is every time? How much money have you sent him? People are like, what? Well, you're so worried about him. I just assume you're sending money. Yeah. See how fast that can deflate that? So here's the bottom line. Okay, I want you to understand what the Gospels are and are not, all right? The Gospels do not contradict one another because they are not straight history books. They have historical value to them, and they have history within them, but one must remember what the Gospel is, the good news is. It is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John who've written these four Gospels, and they are about four accounts or perspectives or viewpoints or experiences or collecting of information of people who had encounters with Jesus. Instead of thinking the gospel is, well, it's a complete history book. Well, first of all, Matthew's encounter with Jesus and Matthew understanding that he was writing from the Judeo or the Judaistic point of view or the Messiah point of view would give him a different take on it than Mark would have and certainly that John would have. I mean, John's take was so unique and highly elevated that he was the one chosen to write Revelation, which if you read Revelation, you go, oh, I get it. Because it's like, that guy's like, wow, how'd he get that? But what happens is people think, well, they should all be the same. It's like, how absurd, let me just say this, how absurd that my wife and I can go to a movie. So have you seen any movies, anything that's worthwhile, anything at all? I mean, we watched, what were we watching the last movie? We're re-watching Spider-Man Far From Home, okay? Yeah, so not your kind of favorite?
Oh, no, I watched it. I'm just trying to remember like the last like big movie I saw.
Anything good? Did you watch anything? What's your like favorite movie? Ooh, that's a tough question. I stumped you on this. Comedy or is it a...
Yeah, it's comedy. I just can't think of
it. I'm a huge Three Amigos fan, but people hate me for that. But anyway, really? I like Three Amigos. But anyway, we watched Star Far From Home. And so she watches it and she... Same movie. It's not a different movie. It's on the same screen for crying out. We're 4 feet apart. And her evaluation of how that went, my evaluation of how that went, not the same. Have you ever noticed that? You can sit and go to a movie and somebody will go, that was the dumbest movie. You'll go, oh no, that movie was great. Or vice versa, right? I mean, that's normal. Well, the Gospels are people who encountered Jesus. And the point of view is not to say that what's most amazing about the Gospels is how much they match. The fact that there are synoptic Gospels is one of the most amazing things. You can have four people go watch Avengers Infinity Wars, come out of that movie, and you will get four completely different perspectives, okay? Because they're different because they impact people differently. It's north, south, east, and west that's looking at something. But remember what we said before. If you go to an elephant from the north or south, you will be describing the sides of an elephant. There'll be a lot of similarity to the other person on the other side. But if you're coming from the east to the west, one of you sees the trunk, the other sees the rear end. And believe me, those descriptions are going to be different. It's the same elephant. Yes, but they're different. And so what happens is people don't recognize that the Gospels are there for you to understand the encounter and the impact that Jesus had with these people. And people say, well, are they the Word of God? I don't know. Did the breath that went into the Bible go into Adam? And did Adam then live once God breathed in him? Then yes. That's all. God's breath went into Adam. Adam became alive. God's breath, all scriptures, God breathed. Okay. God can create the universe. The dude can write a book. If you want to get into the apologetics, which is what I'm, you know, just look at More Than a Carpenter with Josh McDowell. He shows, I mean, historical evidence for the New Testament, 20,000 copies. The next closest historical evidence piece is the Iliad with 600. I mean, it's mind-blowing how much is there. But that's not what I want you to get. What I want you to understand is the reliability. It's four people chosen by God to collect these words that will change the lives of millions, that has, is, and will, until the Lord comes back, changes the lives of people completely. When you read those words, I know you don't understand everything, or at least if you think you do, you probably maybe a little more arrogant than you need to be. There's so much in there, but every time you can, listen to this, have an encounter with God when you encounter his word. I highly, highly, highly encourage you, before you open up your Bible, be it for 2 minutes, 20 minutes, or 2 hours, just to pray and say, let me hear what you have to say. Let me see what they saw so I can draw closer to you. If you can understand the purpose at that point, you understand why the Gospels are so powerful and life-changing. And I've read Matthew well over 120 times. I have 22 Bibles at home that have different markings on every different passage for different. It just never stops. Approach the Word of God with the earnest, reverent, right spirit, and you will find that there's even more gold there than you ever thought possible. Life-changing. More valuable than gold. Oh, it's so good. Understand what the purpose is. God is sharing with you. You should just be like, yay! God's sharing with me. Yeah, that's it. That's all you need. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.